This is a Ninth World Journal. A careless experiment with a teleportation device has left me stranded in random places throughout the Ninth World. While trying to survive in these strange lands, I must find a way to reverse my condition.
A Ninth World Journal is a science fantasy audio drama podcast. Subscribe to listen or visit ninthworldjournal.com.
The Discussing Network presents Discussing Comics. I'm Kyle Jones, and I want to welcome back Clarence Brown. Clarence, how are you?
Yo, man, I'm doing great. And as I say each and every time, just about, happy to be on another episode, and in particular this time with you, sir.
Awesome. Well, I have my Doctor Who coffee mug in hand, and I am caffeinated, so I'm ready to talk about what you're watching. And for everyone listening, what we're talking about today is literally what we're watching. So we want to know too what you are watching. So go and look us up on social media. You can find us at Discussing Comics. Look us up and let us know what you are watching. So Clarence, I'll start right out the door and say, have you seen the Mandalorian season 2 trailer that was released as of today, the day we're recording?
Yes, man. Yes. And honestly, I don't think it gave a lot away, which is good because I love being surprised on shows. But yeah, it seemed like more of the same, and I was excited about it. I heard the word Jedi uttered in the trailer, so hey, that got me hyped enough. What about you, man? Did you see it?
Yeah, I like the words you said, and you actually took the words out of my mouth, which were more of the same, and I don't think that's a bad thing. You know, we obviously love the first season. I think my biggest takeaway, yes, they said Jedi. But I absolutely love the scene where the baby literally kind of takes the top of what he's in and pulls it down when the Mandalorian starts fighting.
Yeah, here comes trouble.
Yes, exactly. That was cool.
Man, the first season of that show was so great. And we didn't see any more of Carlos Esposito's character in this trailer, which is good. I'm waiting for that dark saber to reemerge. But other than that, you know, the visuals are movie quality, amazing in the show. And yeah, I'm just excited to see what new layer they add to this story that got a very great start.
All right. So tell me something, because, you know, I'll have to admit I'm not into the lore of Star Wars as much as I am just watching the movies. The dark lightsaber, do you know anything about it from what you know?
Yeah, see, I think I'm right there with you. I'm a big follower of the main films, but as you well know, there is a whole universe of books and comic books out there in the Star Wars universe that have an additional tapestry, I'll say, to the whole overall franchise, as well as, you know, some offshoot shows like Rebels and Clone Wars, maybe less so the newer show that was on Disney Plus that I think people didn't like very much. I think it was Rise of the Resistance.
I think something. So, or just Star Wars Resistance, maybe.
Yeah, Resistance. Yeah. So there is definitely a whole huge world out there of Star Wars that I have no clue about. Unfortunately, I've not gotten through all of Clone Wars. I think Clone Wars is where we see the Darksaber first emerge. So that's a bit of the Star Wars lore that I'm not that familiar with. But again, you know, as I make my way through Clone Wars slowly, and hopefully what we get from season 2 adds a little bit more to that and can kind of fill us in.
So let me ask you an opinion question here. You know, we as reviewers and we as the fandom, I think, have been split / debated back and forth on whether or not you liked the new trilogy, didn't like the new trilogy. But as a viewer, in your perspective, would you rather see more Mandalorian type stories that, or would you rather see more big screen adaptation?
I don't know, man. I like the big numbered episodes. I love those. And I'm just hoping that when they start to go back into the movieverse, that they will at least start to pay a little more attention to the overall story arcs and keeping everything, I'm not going to say in canon, but a consistent story. Because, you know, we can talk from here to Christmas about, you know, how they ruined the sequel trilogy with mainly by not having a full arc develop, or at least one they didn't stick to. and bringing in different directors, firing directors, you know. I think there's room for Star Wars to have these different stories with different directors. So, for instance, The Mandalorian with Jon Favreau. And in addition to each of the movies, you had different directors doing each of those. But with the main trilogy, I definitely expect them to have a consistent story. And maybe if not the same director, a consistent showrunner. Have George Lucas be the showrunner and have, you know, like he did with the other two original trilogy films, have other people direct them and let him run the show. I definitely like the movies, but again, back to the question you asked, I also love these other properties, and specifically here in The Mandalorian, where we get a different window into gaps in the lore that is unexplored. And we're getting sort of a bridge here with The Mandalorian from the original trilogy to the sequel trilogy and kind of filling in the gaps there. It's funny, me and Carrie was talking about this or chatting about this earlier today. We was like, man, we want to see Luke pop up, you know. There's a thing right now that Sebastian Stan, Bucky, mm-hmm. looks just like Luke Skywalker, or Mark Hamill, and he does. They showed a picture. Look on the internet. There's pictures of him with the wig on, but he looks exactly like him. There's this other kid, and I forget his name, but he looks just like – he would look just like a young Adam Driver.
Okay.
So I think there's room to explore some of these things, and I think for maybe more of this character development that you can't get in a two-hour cinematic movie – this is the place for it. You know, we've been getting it in cartoons and as the Clone Wars and Rebels so far, but now I think since Disney Plus is in full force, I think this is the place.
All right. So when we're talking about the expanded universes and a larger cast of characters, one thing that I've been waiting on since practically or almost since this pandemic that we're in began is the finale of season 10 of a show that, because of you and our friend Jessica, have got me to start watching, The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead, as of this recording, will return for its season 10 finale October 4th. But with that also premieres Walking Dead right after that, Worlds Beyond, starting the next following week, Fear the Walking Dead Series 6.
If you would ask me 5 years ago or whenever Fear the Walking Dead came out, could the Walking Dead franchise support a cinematic universe or even a second show? I would probably say no. And I'm kind of still in that vein, even though I know there's people out there that really love Fear the Walking Dead. I think you caught on to it after a few seasons. You really started to like it. But for me, I never really dove into those other properties. I think it's interesting that we have all of these tentpole franchises that are starting to form their own. I know it's not movies, but cinematic universe. I think all of that is really interesting. Now, for me, I almost think The Walking Dead should be over, just a proper show. Even though I do really love it, it's just time for it to end, I feel.
Mm.
And if you want to go into these other shows, I think that's fine. But they're 10 seasons strong. I mean, I think other shows that I felt went too long that were 10 seasons. Smallville, loved it, but it went too long. Stargate SG-1, loved it, but it went on too long. And maybe it's all right because we only get, 14 episodes a season?
But what if they added 6 more episodes to the season that will be broadcast in early 2021, if all things go well, to season 10?
Man, I don't know.
In prep for, you ready for this? Because you obviously don't know this, so this is cool. And
Well, before you spill it on me, I know that there's supposed to be some Rick Grimes movie coming up, but go ahead and give me.
Okay, outside of that, The Walking Dead proper, the series proper, breaking news for you right now, will be ending with season 11.
So one more season. Was it a 6-episode final season?
No, I believe it's going to be a 20. Now, I don't know if this 6 that we're getting that's extended on season 10 is part of it, but I think it's like a 24 episode season 11 or final season.
Okay. I'm down for that, man. From my point of view, I feel like the Walking Dead has spawned off a bunch of great actors. And I can't remember any of their names.
Melissa McBride.
Yeah.
Norman Reedus.
Norman Reedus.
Yeah.
I just feel like all of those actors are going to be great in things when they leave, but it's time, as witnessed by, you know, Sonequa Martin-Green going on be great on Star Trek Discovery. I just think it's time for these actors to kind of move on and bring the story that has been going on forever. You know, once you get to 10 seasons, this is hard to keep up. So I think it's time for it to end. If we want to continue these spinoffs, bring back Norman Reedus, bring back all these characters, you know, into these other shows for cameos. I think that is even more excellent. Definitely what they did with Richard Dean Anderson in the whole Stargate universe. Mm-hmm. He would pop in every now and then, make a cameo. It always made me smile. So
indeed it did.
Let's do that.
But what if, you know, it's like your psychic network is just kind of like firing tonight, because you said, you know, spin off Norman Reedus into a, you know, another show or something. What about if you spin off or spun off whatever is appropriate there, his own show along with Melissa McBride, also known as Carol.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Boo.
Yes. Yay.
I would hope that it would be very, very different, because the thing with even The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. Well, let me say this first. What I initially liked about Fear the Walking Dead, it started in a very different place. We got to see the it's not a pandemic. We got to see the whole thing unfold before our eyes as they were, I think it was LA at the time.
Yep.
So we got to see that unfold. So that's why that first season, I really loved the Fear of the Walking Dead. But unfortunately, after that, it just felt like normal Walking Dead. So if we're going to do a Melissa McBride, Norman Reedus show, I would hope that it would be something very, very different. I don't know how they're going to do that, but, you know, I guess I'll wait with bated breath.
So I'm going to make a hypothesis. This isn't even an educated guess. This is just a hypothesis.
Okay.
I'm going to guess the comic has ended, so there's no more source material that per se you are beholden to. And I know in the finale of the comic, you do this time jump just like we've been having in the story, but I'm wondering if for some way in Worlds Beyond or and whatever, that there is a cure that gets found.
Okay.
And then maybe that is what this spinoff for Carol and for Norman Reedus's character. I can't remember his name right now. Daryl. Yes. Maybe that's where they go to. I don't know, but that's a guess.
And that sounds interesting to me. If they do that, I will be back on board to watch, because then it sort of pivots into what we've been having 10 seasons into, something like Earth 2 or something, where they're trying to rebuild. But you're still going to have those conflicts, but it's in a different frame. It's as we try to rebuild a society where we know we have a future now.
Correct.
Versus trying to survive where we have none. So I'm interested in that, actually. So you got me on board.
So let me ask you this. You said a word a few minutes ago, and I wonder if this word has had any impact for the audience. And even when these stories come back, if it will impact those who want to watch it. And I know what we're in right now is nothing like, of course, The Walking Dead. But the context is similar, where there is something that was a pathogen that got released and, you know, that people got sick and et cetera and so forth. I wonder if this state that we're in now with COVID-19, if that will impact our want to see zombies, for that matter.
Yeah, I know, at least for me, I'm very much in the frame of mind where I want to watch something that brings me some type of joy. And if Walking Dead had new episodes on as the pandemic started and, you know, where we're at right now, maybe they did. I don't know. Maybe they did. But for me, I wouldn't be watching it. That's why I've been watching Studio Ghibli movies on HBO Max. I don't want something that makes me happy. So
right. Exactly. Because I'll just come out and say it. It's depressing. You know, it is depressing what we're living in. And you're right. Seeing characters, that the whole concept of you don't never know in any episode which character is going to die does not appeal when, in a way, that's reality.
When people are dying left and right in real life. Yeah.
But let's kind of switch here for a second, because this is characters left, right, and dying, because the characters in this story kill people left, right, and center, which is The Boys. Have you caught up yet on The Boys?
I have not, but you can spoil me. I don't care. I've only seen part of, well, I've seen the whole first episode of season two. Seen all of season one, really enjoyed it. Love how they left off with, what's the Superman
Highlander.
Character?
Not Highlander.
Homelander,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. I love how they left off on that cliffhanger with him. And to my surprise, again, I mentioned Carlo Esposito. They brought him in for season two, which is great because he's a great actor. And I loved, there's this one scene in the first episode of season two where he and the, I don't know the actor that plays Homelander, but Homelander and Carlo Esposito's character are like having a showdown. And I'm on board. Another thing about this show that has pivoted a little bit since we've had Star Trek Lower Decks on is Jack Quaid, the character that plays Boimler on Lower Decks. He's the main nerdy guy in the show, and I didn't know that. I didn't realize that after having seen season one, watched Lower Decks, and started season two. I just can't unsee Boimler now, which is he's basically playing the same character, you know. But I find that interesting as well. So I can't wait to dive into more of it when I have more time. But I'm enjoying what I'm seeing so far. What about you, man?
So I am up through up through episode three. I don't like that they released a couple and they're doing the weekly. And it's not by Amazon's choice. I read that this is the producer's choice warning. And their words were, instead of getting that need to fit, you know, that need to watch them all and get that easy fix. And then you've got that interest. So basically they're trying to keep interest in the show a little bit longer by whetting your appetite, giving you a couple of episodes and then stringing you along basically for the rest of it.
And they did release all of their episodes last time, didn't
correct.
They?
Correct. Yes. One drop all episodes.
So of course with all the Disney properties, they are doing week to week. We've seen a few others that have kind of did this drop a few model. I think Star Trek Discovery, when it first came out, they did two episodes at first and then they did one a piece. So I don't know. I think it's a good idea in a sense, but again, people are in the streaming mode when they want it all now. But I do think it after having developed something for years and then you drop it and then it's there and gone from the social conversation within a week. That's kind of hard pill to swallow unless you're just like one of the best shows out there and the conversation continues. So I think Netflix just has a different model from everybody. Everybody can't do it like Netflix. Netflix has the advantage of having a cavalcade of properties that they can continue to string along when they do drop a full season. So I'm fine with this, actually. It gives a person like me time to catch up and watch it all and join in that conversation.
Cool.
Again, with like all the things on HBO Max, they're pretty much just following their broadcast model, but still it's weekly. And I'm down with that.
All right. So I will just say this about The Boys. I think I enjoyed series one from what I've seen just a little bit better. And I think the only reason, not that this has not lived up to season one, but because it is more of the same, that shock of superheroes being gory and killing nonchalantly or whatever, you don't have that shock anymore. So you're just seeing a little bit more of that. So I'm enjoying it, but I'm not like wowed at like I was last time. However, Doctor Who fans, episode three, not saying anything else, but keep your eyes open during episode three of The Boys. That's all I'm saying.
Interesting.
Cool
Interesting.
Nod to Doctor Who. So that's cool for The Boys, up and down. Cool nod.
Again, like we mentioned with Walking Dead, is it a time really we want to see our heroes being assholes? Is this really the time for that right now? Maybe not. You know, it might be a little too dark for what we're experiencing as a world right now. So also, I love freaking Erin Moriarty. She's my favorite character off the show. She's awesome.
Which one is she?
Starlight
or something.
Starlight. Yes. Yeah.
When you want to go dark, what about, you mentioned HBO Max. Have you watched Lovecraft Country?
Yes.
Thoughts?
See, this one is a hard one to frame. They definitely brought some things to light with me that I didn't know about H.P. Lovecraft. seem like when I've ever heard that name mentioned, it's always been in glowing terms. But maybe not so much if you dig into the history a little bit. So it deals with monsters and living in an era where, of course, black people are suppressed. I think it's the 60s of them, or maybe 50s or 60s. I can't remember. 50s, I believe. But and it shows a lot of those fanciful monsters and myths and how this main family is involved in all of that. So there's magic, monsters. For me, I have to say, man, the first episode, the pilot, was maybe, and I heard somebody else say this, and I 100% agree, maybe the best pilot, 5 out of 5 pilot, maybe one of the best pilots I've ever seen. Just fantastic. But after that, I really have been back and forth on the episodes. I've not enjoyed it as much, but I think the pilot was pretty perfect. But I'm staying alone to try to see if it picks back up for me. Some interesting concepts, but I don't know if this hitting me quite yet. What about you, man?
So I'm kind of like with you. The pilot, of course, it was amazing. They did a great job. It was very uncomfortable. I'll be totally honest with you. It was uncomfortable for me to watch, considering how racist some of the people that they were presenting as being. It was also uncomfortable seeing a bunch of white men in an old pickup truck chasing down people who were of color when just a couple of months ago we had in 2020, yeah, the same thing happened. So that was uncomfortable in the sadness that we still have stuff like that happening, you know?
Yeah,
but as far as the story goes, it was well acted. I love the actors that they have in there. They're doing a brilliant job, but I agree with you that the stories after, I just don't quite feel like I know where the story's going, and maybe that's the intent. That said, I haven't seen the latest episode, but I don't even want to say I'm enjoying it because it's just different, but I guess
it's just different.
Yeah.
And a good thing about it is you don't, for me at least, you have no idea where they're going next, which I think that's fine with a property that's new and fresh. And wherever they go, I'm kind of just along for the ride. And hopefully along the way, I will love what I see. Now, a few more things about this show real quick. Journey Smollett, she's freaking awesome in the series. Jonathan Majors is like the main character. He's been popping up in a lot of stuff lately, and it's kind of came out of nowhere. He was in the movie Five Bloods. He's in this, and he's rumored,
yep,
to be in an upcoming Marvel property.
Yep, that's where I was headed. That is awesome.
Yeah, so that's going to be it. And also it has Tony Goldwyn. Well, at least he's in the show, and he's from what's the Scandal. He's like the president in Scandal, so that was cool as well, seeing him.
And it is created by Misha Green and Jordan Peele, so.
Yeah.
The character, just as a rumor here, nothing I don't think is confirmed yet, he may be playing this role in Ant-Man, maybe the introduction of a character called Kang, K-A-N-G, the Conqueror. And if I were to describe to you Kang the Conqueror, I would say the Master from Doctor Who is a Marvel villain, Kang the Conqueror. That's who the Kang would
be. Yeah, what I've heard, he's like the major time guy in the Marvel universe. Yes. Is kind of what it summed up to. So yeah, that should be interesting.
Yes, and there are multiple versions of spoiler. Hence, Time Lordy, kind of. So.
Interesting.
If the way those people were acting, the white people, they acted like they were raised by wolves, which, you know, segue into the other show I want to talk about, Raised by Wolves on HBO Max. So I'll start this one off. This one was weird, but I couldn't stop watching it whenever I started watching it. It was weird. It was like, okay, this is kind of, I don't know what to think. And, oh, I'm in the third episode now. What they did by I don't think they were being disrespectful to religion, but it was the way they played with religion a little bit. And then this idea of the mother and father, I just couldn't stop watching. So what were your thoughts?
Yeah, you mentioned religion. It definitely felt like what's the Dr. Crash of the Byzantium, the Doctor Who episode?
Yes.
With Jorah Mormont as the head religious guy.
Yes.
It feels sort of like that in a way. You have these religious soldiers or sect or group that is kind, and I won't give away too many spoilers, but they're trying to foster. This is in the first episode. I think it's in the first step. Okay, let me shut up. I'm not sure. But they're trying to foster this new world, a new civilization, because the human civilization is at a brink of destruction. But yeah, this episode, though weird, though different, again, I never knew what to expect, and that's part of the appeal for me. And early on, it hit on all of those sci-fi aspects that I love. You know, there was a spaceship, people that seemingly are androids, and all of that. I was just kind of like you, glued to the television to see what they would do next. And once we found out what their mission is, and eventually we get more backstory about what's going on with them, which I won't spoil for you. But yeah, definitely had no idea where it was going. But as far as an introduction into this whole lore, this whole fiction that I really know nothing about, I think they did a great job. And again, it had several elements that, you know, if you show me pretty spaceships and androids, I'm probably going to like it.
Yeah. And I loved the way that they present mother and father. And, yes, you know, again, like you said, not giving anything away, but you don't really know what to think about those characters. And you think one thing and then you think another, and then you don't think this and then you think that. I just say the two actors that are portraying mother and father do an extremely good job of going from one spectrum of I'm an android to almost human in a way. And I just really enjoy their presentation of this mother-father character.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're magnificent. And I don't know how much I'm giving away, but it's cool to see how those two progress as a unit, how they try to foster this new civilization. And is it a spoiler to say that they're the wolves? Mm. Maybe that's a spoiler. Cut that out.
But well, no, I'm not, because I don't think we know yet. I think the way they want us to think, because I thought the same thing that you said. I was like, oh, well, that's why it says raised by wolves. But I think I may be wrong, but I think the writers are smarter than that.
Interesting. Yeah, that's the reason I am game for whatever they do, because it's always been interesting. So yeah, give me more.
So speaking of more, what else are you watching? Is there anything I've covered, things that I know or thought that you and I might have or would watch? But is there anything else that's just like caught your attention that you want to bring up?
Oh man, let me pull up my HBO. So I canceled Netflix. I will say that. Just kind of cutting the budget just a little bit to focus, because I don't have time to watch everything as it is. So trying to focus a little bit on those things that I do like and that has content that I'm interested in. So for now, I'm going to I cut Netflix. But, you know, I keep saying this and I want people to really take note that the beauty is that with these services, you're not on a contract. You can get them when you want them and cancel them when you don't. So I have that freedom to say when I want to, you know, I've been hearing good things about a few shows on Netflix. So when I want to consume those, I'm going to definitely log back on and start my subscription again. But yeah, I'll mention a few things I've been looking at. First off, the worst DC movie ever made, Supergirl. Fight me.
Okay.
It's the worst. And I love Helen Slater. I think she's awesome. She's beautiful in the show. But oh my God, that movie is so terrible. So terrible. Thank God for Melissa Bonet, because man, that movie is horrible. But I've been watching that. Also, maybe a little less comic booky related, I've been watching a show called The Vow, which, you know, if you watch Smallville, it's about this cult that what is the girl's name? She played Chloe. Allison Mack on Smallville. Is kind of cult that she got wrapped up in. So, you know, it's been pretty interesting. I think you might want to give it a look. But other than that, nothing much other than I've been watching some Room 104 on Netflix. And, you know, as always, Doctor Who. Not Netflix, but HBO Max. And as always, Doctor Who. So So that's about it. Yeah, I think that's it for me. Anything else for you, man?
Speaking of HBO Max, and this was something we did back in the early days of us doing podcasting. We did a review of, and I think it was on like the 13th or 14th episode of Discussing Who, where we reviewed, along with Lee Shackelford, we did a review of The Suicide Squad, the movie Suicide Squad. I did not watch it when we reviewed it, and I think it was pretty obvious to the two of you. But that being said, as this weekend passed, I went and watched Suicide Squad, and I actually enjoyed watching it. And I will probably this weekend watch Birds of Prey / Harley Quinn movie. So
yeah, man, Suicide Squad was not that bad, man. I know it gets a bad rap. Is it the best superhero movie? No, but I think as far as it, I think it gets a bad rap as being put at the bottom, but I think it was decent for what it was. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed Harley Quinn. I enjoyed Jared Leto as the Joker. I thought all of that was fantastic. So, hey, it was different, but yeah. I liked it.
So, man, I'll say this. If it were not for the actors, I mean, I thought Will Smith did a good job as Deadshot, but if it was not for the actors that were in the Suicide Squad, if they would not have been as strong as they had, and have honestly, if Harley Quinn had not been as strong as she was the breakaway star to me.
She was awesome. She was freaking amazing.
And, you know, I did, like you said, did I go away saying, oh, this is the greatest movie of all times? Absolutely not. But I ultimately watched all the movie and am not sitting here griping about it. I enjoyed the overall movie experience. So there you go.
Yeah. And I will add that I have seen Birds of Prey. Yeah, I know our friend of the show, Sergio Lugo, really likes it. I would love to hear your opinion once you've seen it, because I didn't think it was that great.
Well, speaking of Sergio, I think it would be a good nod to him to say he has seen New Mutants. And I know we've talked about New Mutants on our top and most anticipated movies for 4 years running, the New Mutants. He has seen New Mutants, and he says it's not the worst X-Men movie, I think were his exact words.
Glowing review.
That means there were worse, but I asked him who was his favorite character, and I don't think he really had one, and I was hoping he was going to say Magic, of course, and yeah. I think she had a little bit too much teen angst for his taste, the way they portrayed her.
Yeah, it seems like I've been hearing rumors they said she was kind of a-hole in it. But
yeah, and from the trailers, that's kind of what, you know, but she was raised by a demon. It's not her fault.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, so.
Give and take, man.
There you go. So, Clarence, this was fun. And for everyone listening, thank you so much for joining us. We're glad that you're here. Make sure that you subscribe to the show. And if you are so inclined, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, go out, leave us a rating, leave us a 5-star review if you would like, or whatever review you so deem worthy. And if you do leave us a review, we will read it on an upcoming show. So again, Clarence, thanks for joining us. And for everyone listening, we'll be back next time.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.